Okay, so it's interesting. It's one of those funny things. I actually looked at my list of chaburas, and like this is where like what I've done is kind of like a little bit like sparse, because I never give the chabura like on a regular basis this late in the season. But I guess like, you know, for me, this is a treat because Parshas Korach is a good one. So I want to share with you two different thoughts by Rabbi Riskin. I think that they are all very fascinating ideas because Korach is very, very complicated. So we start with the very first pasuk, which has obviously the biggest and most famous question of Parshas Korach of all. Vayikach Korach. Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kahath, the son of Levi, took, and Dasan and Aviram, who are the sons of Eliav, and Om ben Pelet, the sons of Reuven. Okay, so obviously the big question is, what did Korach take? It doesn't say anything. It just says, Vaikach Korach. Now, if you're going to say that Korach took Chevra with him, so then it should say, Vaikach Korach et Datan v'Aviram, the Om ben Pelet b'nei Reuven. Why is it that it just says Vaikach Korach and it doesn't tell us what he took? So that's the first question. And I think that question is not so simple. But when we begin to unpack that question, I think we get a better sense of what Korach is all about. So the second pasuk tells us Vayakumu l'fnei Moshe, and they get up in front of Moshe, v'anashim v'bnei Yisrael chamishim v'matayim, nisiei eida kriyei moed anshei shem. They take 250 people with them, who are Nisiyim, who are leaders. Like, these are not regular people. These are holy people. These are important people. And what do they do? Vaykalu al Moshe v'al Aaron, and they gather al Moshe and Aaron, vayomru aleihem, and they say, Rav lachem, enough! Ki chal ha'ida kulam kedoshim. Everybody is holy, uvetocham Hashem, and Hashem is in their midst. In our midst, umadua titnasu al kahal Hashem. So why then do you lift yourself up above the kahal Hashem? So it seems like the argument by everyone is what? Why are you taking all the holiness for yourself? It's not fair. Vayishma Moshe vayipol al panav. Moshe hears this and he falls on his face. Moshe's done. This is where he just says, like, what do you want from me? At this point in time, there's like nothing left. He says to Korach and his people, saying, "Boker, wait till tomorrow. God will tell you what is His, who He chooses. What's going to happen is in the morning you're going to find out who God wants by choosing who is going to." By choosing whose korban he accepts. Now, we know that Korach is his own entity, and then we know that Dasan Aviram and Bnei, as the Bnei Eliav and Om ben Pelet are another entity. The question is, what's with these 250 people? Do they subscribe to the same philosophy, and are they really on the same page as Korach? Meaning, if we acknowledge that there's the possibility that Korach is not coming from a L'shem Shamayim place, did he have this like skewed idea and he gets these people to buy in? Or are these people idealists who like legitimately buy into the philosophy that he's trying to share, even though he himself maybe doesn't? And that's, I think, another important question. And so what does he say? I want each of you to take a fire pan, you and Korach and your entire group, and put fire on it, and put ketoret on it, and whoever Hashem chooses, He is the Holy One. Enough, sons of Levi. Okay, so those are our psukim. So I shared with you my four questions. Does anybody have any other questions that they would like to add to our list?
So, of all the things that Moshe could have chosen as a, I guess, a test, he chooses the Ketores, and they should remember what happened to Aaron's sons.
Right.
Brought the Ish Zarah, So it always strikes me, like, why didn't they say, let's do something different?
Well, I guess they didn't have a choice, right? Meaning they're coming to Moshe and saying, we want your job, right? We want your position. And Moshe says, well, that's fine. I'm going to tell you what the rules of the game are. If they say we're not interested in Ketores, what's going to happen? Then they're bowing out, like that's out of the competition. But I think Moshe Dafka chooses Ketoret for that reason. Moshe wants to scare them. You know, you guys think you're so tough and you think that this is such a great idea and you, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, that's fine, but let's see how it goes. Are you willing to take that chance?
Are you open to some comments that aren't more questions?
I'm open to questions or answers, thoughts, the whole.
I know, that was a rhetorical question. So, an answer that I heard this week about the Vayikachor, what did he take? He took, not mine, yet, in whose name, I'll find out and I'll share it if it's for the others. He took the kahuna. So he was trying to take what was not his. He was a lady. He wanted, like, how come Aaron's family got that? I want this. So that's what he took.
Okay.
Again, that's some current realm. That's one thing. Numerous times in Bamidbar, when people are described as the leaders or the greatest people of Israel, that usually would tell deadness. I mean, the Raglan, these guys, these best people, they turn out not to be so good. So I would watch out for that label just in general.
Right, yeah.
He fell on his face last time also. He reaches his boiling point. This is early on. This is a year two, right? In the desert?
Right.
Not 38. He's not like how close to death. He's the 80, 81. He's kind of fallen on his face a couple of times in the last few weeks. You should watch out for that. I thought Korach was already towards the end.
So it is a machlokas when Korach takes place.
Because here he's already at the height of his power. Moshe doesn't ask Hashem, what should we do to punish Korach? He says, this is what's going to happen. And Hashem agrees. And that's Moshe really at the height of his power.
Yeah, so I could be wrong, and it could be that there are Mefarshim that feel that this happened at the end of the 40 years. Ibn Ezra feels it happened earlier than year two, but most feel it happened right after the heels of the Meraglim, because when Moshe Rabbeinu basically sentences them all to die in the desert, everybody's like, well, Moshe Rabbeinu, your approval rating is pretty low because you're not taking us to the promised land. So that's a great opportunity for Korach, who's charismatic, who is wealthy. He has a lot of skills that he's able to basically come and make an attempted coup on Moshe. So the timing is definitely good for that. Any other questions or thoughts before we try to answer some of them? Okay, so just to review the four questions. First off, what did Korach take? Second of all, what is Korach's argument? Third, the 250 men, are they all on the same page as Korach? And the last one is, why fire? Right, utnu vahein eish, why does he use fire? Which is kind of like piggybacking a little bit off Henry's question, not so much the Ketores, but why the idea of fire? So let's take a look at the Das Kanim. The Das Kanim says something that I like the beginning much more than the end. The Das Kanim says, Veikach Korach ita b'chelek, right? This is a quote from the Sanhedrin, Perek HaChelek. Veikach amar Reish Lakish shalakach mekach ra liatzmo. He took a bad business purchase for himself. Meaning sometimes you enter into bad business dealings. That's Vayikach. Korach took himself and put himself in a bad place. Okay, that's the first answer. Korach, why is he called Korach? She'asa karcha b'Yisrael. He made a bald spot amongst the Jewish people. Okay, so Korach, from the word kereyach, is to be bald. So Korach made a bald spot for the Jewish people. Okay, we'll have to try to understand what that means a little bit later. Davar Acher, Korach ole b'gematria shadad. So Korach in gematria is shadad, which is menace. Sheshadad velo shamar mitzvatav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was a menace to the people, didn't keep the mitzvos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that gives us one answer. What did he take? He took himself a bad deal and ends up messing the Jewish people up. Vaikach Korach. Rashi says, Lakach etzmo letzadcha liot nechlak mitoch ha'ida le'orer al kehuna. So somewhat similar to what David was saying, that he puts himself on the other side when he fights about the kahuna. When he says kach et Aaron, take Aaron and tell him he's gonna do the be the Kohen Gadol, Korach takes for himself these men to be with him. Problem with that is that it shouldn't be it by Aaron. The example that Rashi brings down is kach et Aharon, and here it's missing. Okay. Ben Yitzhar ben Kahat ben Levi. We get the whole story. He's the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kahat, the son of Levi. And of course, if you're already going that far back, it should just go one more generation back. And then you go all the way to the source. You get the source, which is Yaakov Avinu himself. But we don't lo hizkir Yaakov. He doesn't get Yaakov. Why? Because Rachmim atzmo shel yizachar shmal machlekutam. Because Yaakov davened at the end, right, in the brachos of Shimon Levi, he says, I don't want to be part of your whole thing, right? Not interested in being part of your machlokes. Okay. So, what is Vaikach? Rashi says Vaikach is he separates himself, or he takes some people with him. That's the Vaikach here. So, Rashi then continues, V'datam v'aviram b'shvil shaya shevet Ruvain sharoi v'chaniyatam temana. Ruvain's tribe was in the south, and they were next door neighbors to Kehat, which is the chevra, the family of Korach. And he therefore joins in with Korach and his machloket. And this is what we mean when we say oy l'rasha, oy l'shcheino. Right? Woe unto an evil person and his neighbor. Mara Korach, so right, Korach and whatchamacallit, and Korach and the Shevet of Reuven, they have a reason to connect with each other. And what is that, right? So Korach, Mara Korach Achloki Moshe, why does Korach join to fight with Moshe? Nitkanel, Nesiyoto, Shalag Tzafan Bun Uziel. He was upset that when they needed to pick a head of Shevet Levi, they chose Elitzafan Ben Uziel. Because Moshe chose him as the Nasi on the Bnei Kahat. Amar Korach. Korach says, Achi Abba Arba Hayu. My father had four brothers. Shemar Bnei Kahat. Right? V'chule. Amram V'chor. Natlu Shnei Ben Avgedula. So Amram was the oldest. And what does he take? He takes the two top spots. Echad Melech. Moshe Benu is the king, so to speak. V'echad Kohen Gadol. And Aaron is the Kohen Gadol. Fine, I'm okay with that. Mira Uyli told Ashnia, who's going to take the next one? Lo ani shani ben Yitzhar. I'm the son of Yitzhar, Shusheni la'amram. He's next in line. V'hu minana si et ben achiv hakatam mikulam. And yet he took Chevron ben Uziel, Elitzaphan ben Uziel, who is from the Bnei Chevron, who are the youngest. Areini cholek elav matel dvarav. So therefore, what did he do? He says, I'm going to fight with him and I'm going to mess up his whole thing. So how does he do that? Masa, Amad v'kanas reishnun rashi Sanhedrin. He took 250 heads of Sanhedrin. Ruban m'shevet Reuven shchenav. Mainly from Reuven, because they were disgruntled anyway. Because they thought, ugh, we got shafted also. Right? The Bnei Yehuda, number 4, got it instead of us. So what happens? Then that's Elitzur ben Shteyur v'chavei Rav. Shnemar m'nesiei da kruei moed. Ulalan omer eile kruei moed. Kruei ha'eda. At the beginning of Bamidbar, we're told these are the kruei ha'eda. And those were the nesiim. So what do they do? Korach has to, the Medrash is going to fill in what happened. What? How does he make his case? So he'll bishan talito chakul and treles. They all put on clothing that was completely tcheles. And bow v'amdu l'fei Moshe. And they get up in front of Moshe. And amru lo, they said to Moshe, talit shekulat shel tchelet, chayeve b'tzitzis o p'tura. A talis that's completely blue, does it need tzitzis or not? So amru le'en, he says, chayeves. It has to, right? Even if I'm wearing, the garment is completely blue, if the question is you need a string of tchelis or not, Moshe said it's chayev. And he tchilos l'sachek alav. They make fun of him. And they say, efshar tali chel min acher chut echad chel tchele potra. So they say, normally by a talis, one string is enough. Zo shekula tcheles lo tiftor datzma. This one, which is completely blue, shouldn't that be enough to exempt itself? It's an argument that, in theory, makes a lot of sense, right? You're saying that if a talis is completely blue, it should not need the string of tcheles. Why? Because the whole reason I have this string in the first place is to remind me of the sky. The sky reminds me of God, etc., etc. So here, his argument is, if the one little string will remind me of God, of course the beged will. Now the Medrash does continue. Rashi does not bring this down, where he also asks Moshe Rabbeinu a second question. If I have a house that's full of Sifrei Torah, do I need to put a mezuzah up on the door? Right? Do I need a mezuzah on the door or not? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, yeah, it says, Uchtavtam mezuzos abeisecho visharecha. You got to put them up on your door. So they said, I understand. The mezuzah has what? Just a few psukim in the Torah. I have Sifrei Torah has everything in it. Why is it that the Sifrei Torah don't patter the room? So the same thing. Question is, what's the message of talis and mezuzah that the Medrash is trying to teach us? Is this just a wonderful way of kind of digging into Moshe and making Korach more sensational than he is? Or is it possible that the Medrash is trying to explain to us a little bit of who Korach was? So that's my question. Any thoughts before we continue? Okay. So let's take a look at... I'm sorry, say again?
Not a Torah about that.
Beautiful. Okay, so David, you're sharing what Rav Soloveitchik said. Rav Soloveitchik said that Korach's argument is logic. The Torah has to make sense. So the Tzitzis argument, it doesn't make any sense. Moshe, what you're saying is absolutely ridiculous. And the same thing with the mezuzah argument. Why would I even think that a house that has a Sefer Torah would need a mezuzah? Okay, because the metzias of the mitzvah would seem to indicate that I'm fine. What do I need it? That's Korach's argument. And Moshe says, it doesn't have to make sense. It's fine. Okay, so let's take a look at the next source. By the Right, this is the very beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. By the Ber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber Kol Adap Bnei Yisrael, Amarta Lehem Kedoshim to you, Ki Kedoshim Yashem Lokeichem. He says, speak to the Jewish people and say to them, Kedoshim to you, you should be holy, Ki Kedoshim Yashem Lokeichem, because I am holy. Says I, right? Ki Kedoshim Ni, I am holy. The Lord your God says. Okay. What does this pasuk tell us? Kedoshim to you. Does it mean you are holy? What's tihiyu?
You will be.
You will be holy. How do you become holy?
Following my laws.
Following my laws. Okay, how else? Is it a slam dunk that we're going to be holy? No, meaning in general, like by virtue of being Jewish, is that a slam dunk that you're holy?
No.
Yeah, I mean the whole right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Somebody else?
You will be holy because I'm holy. So because I, Hashem, am holy, you will therefore be holy. So it sounds like you don't necessarily need to do anything. Which I know isn't how we read it.
But so Kedoshim to you, you can be, like Kedoshim to you, you will be holy. Or you can be holy because I am holy. Meaning, it's not a question that God is holy. Of course God is holy. So there is a cause and effect. The way to get to holiness is by doing the mitzvos. If you don't do the mitzvos, it's not a guarantee. So like any notion that because we're the Jewish people, we're the chosen people, we're the promised people, we're the special people, it's not 100% a guarantee, meaning we are special so long as we do X, Y, and Z. If we don't do what God wants us, then we're not holy. So this is what Moshe and Korach's, or this is really what Korach's machlokis on Moshe was. He says, I have a whole different like take on this, Moshe. Moshe, you know what? You're special. Forget holy, but you know what? You're special. Because you had certain opportunities I could never have had. You grew up in the palace. You left Egypt. You had all these opportunities. And because you had these opportunities, you became who you are. It's not fair. Because after all, everyone is holy. And I could have been holy if I was in your shoes. And his examples are basically that. He says, look, the Beged is completely blue. It's fully holy. The Torah is completely intact. It's totally holy. Why do I need something on top of that? Meaning the idea that he's arguing against is, I don't need a leader. Because all a leader does is he muddies the waters. The Torah is complete. It's good. The Beged is blue. It's good. That's his argument. But his argument shows he missed the point. What he's saying is, I'm good where I am. I don't need more. We're all holy. We're born holy. We're set holy. And we don't need any more. Nothing else needs to be done. And that's Korach's first major mistake. Because actually we do need to do more. Even if I am born into the right circumstances, and even if I have what I need, this is not like materialism. Meaning, if I am a portfolio baby, or whatever those kids are called, that are born with, like, you know, to millions and millions and millions of dollars. Yeah, so you don't need to work. Meaning, you're good, right? If you have, my neighbor is a lawyer for a bank, and he does, like, trusts. So he'll be like, yeah, you know, like he won't tell me names, of course, but he'll be like, you know, these two people are complaining because they're inheriting $140 million and they feel like it's just not, you know, the terms are not good enough. And I was like, I don't know, somebody offered me $70 million. If I divide it even four ways, I'd be like, all right, we'll handle it. But it's not, but that's Judaism and spirituality doesn't work that way. It's not simply where you look and say, oh, I have, you know, he got the, I made it, I've arrived, and I'm good. No, it's the opposite. You need more and more and more and more. And that's why, yes, it's true, the Beged is kulo treles, but that doesn't mean it's done. There's always room for more. I might have quoted this before, but I remembered today that Rabbi Penner's drasha, his final Shabbos, which is pretty crazy, that was 5 years ago already, but 5 years ago, his last drasha in Halliswood was Parshas Korach. And he talks about how the truth is that the relationship between the tzibur and the rabbi is often very much like this example of Korach. The tzibur is the beged, and they're kulo treles. And sometimes they look and say, we don't need you. We're all good. And he says, no, they need that person to work with them, that one more. And it's the same thing with the mezuzah. Yes, the Sefer Torah is good, but you could aim for more. But he said at the same time, and this is like, it's a beautiful idea, he said, the rabbi has to remember, if he's the mezuzah needs to be checked every couple of years. You got to make sure that it's still aligned and on the right path with the tzibur. I think it's a beautiful idea. Rabbi Riskin takes it one step further by saying, it's not, Korach was saying, we have enough, we don't need more. Ki kalayda kulam kedoshim, and Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, no, kedoshim to you. It's a life. It's not a life achieve. It's something that we have to work on our entire life to reach, to be able to say that we are kedoshim. But Riskin then concludes by saying, Korach, if you change the nekudos, it comes from the shoresh either karcha, bald, or kereach. Or kerach. What's kerach? Kerach is ice, right? Ice is something that's frozen. Right, when you think about something that's frozen, it doesn't really have the potential for growth. Certainly, when something is bald, right, there is nothing left growing there. That's the idea. Comes along Korach and says, it's fine. I'm happy with where I am. I'm happy with how we are. It's all good. Being frozen where we are, it's fine. Being bald with no opportunity for growth, beseder, that's fine. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, it can't be. You cannot live in a world where you believe that there's no room for growth. And therefore, what does he say to says to Korach? I want you to come in the morning, and what will we do? Tenu vahein eish. You're going to put fire there. The fire, what will it do? The fire is going to come and defrost the frozen Korach and show that there is ability and place to grow. That's the first answer that Rabbi Riskin gives. So I want to share with you a second answer. Second answer is not pshat. The Kotzker Rebbe used to talk about Korach and say, I apologize, Shmuel, you could fix my Yiddish for sure. He said, Unzer Heilige Zedi. That's, I don't know if I got the first word right. Anyway, that's Korach. Korach is my Heilige Zedi. Now, when we think of, I don't know much Yiddish, but heilige, when the Rebbe uses the word heilige, it does not mean Korach. Heilige is, I don't know, good people, tzaddikim. How is Korach heilige? How is he a tzaddik? So the pre-tzaddik, the Tzaddik HaKohen of Lublin, offers the following explanation. It's a beautiful, beautiful explanation. He says there's two ways to view communities. Communities have a bunch of individuals who are linear who are circular. What does that mean? It means that when you look at a circle, there's the dot in the middle, and every radius is equidistant from the center. Everybody's the same. Masha'ein kain with linear. The idea of linear is that this person is here, someone else is there. Your starting point is all the same, but your growth could be so much more for each person. Korach makes the argument to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's circular. The Jewish community is just that. The dot in the middle is God, and we are the circumference. The Jewish people are the circumference of the circle, and therefore every individual person is exactly the same distance from God. Moshe explains it's not true. You are going to have in every community people who are greater and people who are not. So if that's the case, is it just that Korach messed up? But then how is Korach the Heilige Zedi? So take a look at the Gemara in Tanis. It's an amazing, amazing Gemara. The Gemara is Amar Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says, "Atida Kadosh Baruch Hu laso mechol la tzaddikim." In the end, God is going to make a circle for the tzaddikim. "V'hu yoshev beineihem began Eden," and He is going to be in the middle of them in Gan Eden. "V'chol echad v'echad mareh be'etzpa'o," and every one of them will be visible by his finger. "Shenemar v'amar bayom ahu yinei Elokeinu zeh kivinu lo v'yoshenu zeh Hashem kivinu lo v'nagid lo v'nismu chav v'shua so." Everybody will be able to see God. They'll point to God and say, "Zeh Hashem kivinu lo. This is God. I've waited for Him. Now I'm going to rejoice." What's the idea of a circle? Jews like circles, right? You ever notice we dance in circles, lots of them. What's the deal with a circle? And why is it that atid lavo, at the time of Mashiach, we're going to be in a circle? All the tzaddikim will be in a circle. Now, I remember when I was a kid, I remember sitting in school and my Rebbe said to me, I don't remember which one, but I definitely heard this at least once, if not more. What's going to happen when we all die? We're going to come up to Shemayim. And in Shemayim, what's going to happen? We're all going to have seats. Yup. It's a giant stadium. For sure not the Colosseum. It's at least the Garden, maybe Yankee Stadium. Right? This is what we're talking about. And what's going to happen? The tzaddikim are going to sit courtside. They're going to sit on the field. And the guy that didn't do such a good job, he's going to sit up in section 543 and barely be able to make out what's going out on the field. That's what's going to happen. That's what the end of days are going to be like. Whatever you put in is what you're going to get out. Now, maybe this is different. Maybe this isn't talking about death. Maybe this is talking about that, like, when Mashiach comes, it'll be a little bit different. But a machol at tzaddikim, God is going to make a circle, and he's going to be in the middle. What does that mean? It means that every single person is equidistant from God. What exactly is happening here? This is the very machlokas that Moshe Rabbeinu had with Korach. Korach says that it's fine. We're all equal in the eyes of God. He really means it. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, yes, it's true, but not yet. The day will come, but we're not there yet. Lasid lavo, in the future, that's what's going to happen. But not bizmanenu. We're just not there yet. So how could Korach have been so badly mistaken? So perhaps Korach, on the heels of Matan Torah, which is only a year and a half before that, Korach says, look where Klal Yisrael are. Look who Klal Yisrael are. Klal Yisrael were people that were able to hear God, speak to God, interact with God. We're already circular. We're all the same. And that's his case of Kedoshim. Right? Ki chulam Kedoshim. Why are you making yourself any more important? Aren't we all the same? That's Korach's argument. If that's Korach's argument, then perhaps it's possible to look at Korach in a very different light and to say that Korach actually was, on some level, the Halig HaZeidi. I want to finish off by sharing with you the Emek Davar. I think that the Emek Davar has a beautiful explanation that will answer the question of, were the 250 people and Korach on the same page or not? So the Emek Davar says, I apologize, it's going to be a little bit hard to read because it took out all the abbreviations. So you have to kind of work through it. But he says, V'im kein, v'yikchu mibaye. He says, really, if this is talking about all the Jewish people, it should say v'yikchu, and they took. He says, you have to look at the entire parsha. Try to understand it. Look at the entire argument. And look at the entire punishment. Understand that they're not all coming from the same place. Korach and his Eda, all the people. Korach is Eda, Dasan, Aviram, the 250 men. Shaharei anu roim shelo ayu bechlal lo kheyamach todela Korach v'reish nonish. The only people that take the fire pans are Korach and the 250 men. V'gam hnigam hamakom yisparach shemo kavod b'ran ish v'lo b'korach. Right? God actually gives kavod to the 250 men, not to Korach. So he says, Al kein yesh lavin shereish nun ish hayu bemeh gedole Yisrael b'chol prat. Gam yiras Hashem. He says, the truth is that the 250 men were really God-fearing people. Vaya m'niyat ha-ku'una shehu goreim dveiko v'avat Hashem k'esh bo'er b'kirbam. These people were b'chorim. They were firstborns. And they're so angry because they say, we wanted to be close to God. And yet we lost out on that chance to be the Kohanim. And it burned in them like a fire. They didn't want this job. Lo l'shem srar of a kavod, hameduma. They didn't want it for honor and the glory. Kim l'tkadesh l'asig malazu yavoda. They wanted the chance to be able to connect to God. They knew that God had spoken properly to Moshe. They're not asking questions, God forbid, on Moshe Rabbeinu. Rak hirhu belibam achar ratzon Hashem umasu atzmam umesiras nefesh v'lamut al ahavat Hashem ki aza kemot ahava. He says the problem is that they really did. They believed in God, but they were unhappy with God's answer. And it bothered them that they lost out on a chance to become holy. And so what do? They're willing to be moser nefesh, to die al kiddush Hashem, they think, because they love God so much. It's an interesting nitziv, right? The Emek Davar, fascinating. What he says is the 250 men were upset because they wanted to be the Kohanim and they lost that chance to be Davuk Bashem. So sad. They wanted to grow, but they were told they weren't allowed to. Is Korach coming from the same place as the 250 men? Maybe. It depends on which take of Rabbi Riskin you use. Is it the Kedoshim Tiyu? Kedusha is something that you have to work for? And they thought it was automatic? Or is it that Korach is the Halik Zaydi? That he just believed that the Jewish people were in a better place and more ready for this Acharis Hayamim world? The 250 men perhaps are in the same boat. Do we have to make them out to be bad people? It says in Itziv, no, these people were not only bad, not only weren't they bad, but they were so holy. Amazing. So what do we do with this parsha? I think the underlying message of all of Korach and his Eda is that your heart could be in the right place, but you can't say because my heart was in the right place, it's all good. If your heart is in the right place, but you're not following the Ratzon Hashem, then your heart is not in the right place. And that's a powerful message that Korach teaches us. Korach, if you sat with him and said, "Nu, Korach, are you really, you know, doing it l'shem shamayim?" He would say, "Yes, I am." And he might even have been doing that. But it's not our perception of what l'shem shamayim is. It's God's perception. I always found fascinating Yishmael. Yishmael is Yishmakel. God will hear. There's only two nations that have God's name in it. Yisrael, Yishmael. What's the difference though? Yishmael says God will hear what I do and he'll accept it. Meaning it's the notion of, right, I can do something, quote unquote, in the name of God and it's all good. Comes along Korach, comes along Moshe and says, nah, it doesn't work that way. Yes, it's true that you might think that you're coming in a good place, but if God doesn't feel it, and God doesn't feel you're doing it l'shem shamayim, it's not. I think that's a very important thing that people have to watch out. Sometimes we convince ourselves that what we're doing is in the name of God, is in the sake of heaven, but it's not always the case. That's exactly where Korach messes up. And that's where the 250 men mess up. And that's where Dustin and Avira mess up. And while it's true, the punishment for all of them might be different, might not exactly be the same. Nonetheless, it's important to note that the end results are all the same. They all die. And they all end up wasting an opportunity to connect with Hashem. What a shame. Korach could have been so much more if either Korach had realized that there's always room for growth, or if Korach had realized that, yes, it's true that you believe that a vision of the Jewish people are what they are, but your vision is completely false. Those are the messages of Korach, and I think those are messages that are really pertinent, even bizmanenu.